Go ahead. This is Sunday morning. This is January 13th, 2019, and this is the second part on Redeemed, Already Done. And the subtitle is Learning the Ways of the Kingdom from Dark to Light. You know, just like in the world system, there is a what we hear the term political correctness terminology. The same type of, the Holy Spirit says, damnable concept is in the church. And it's like religious correctness. And some examples, you know, the scripture says, as he is, so are we in this world. And Jesus commissioned us, go do what I did. You'll do greater things than I did because I go to the Father. Well, the thing about Jesus, he said, I'm not doing anything. I'm just obeying the Father, and the Father in me is doing these works. So God is not expecting us to go do works. That's religiously correct. That's thinking that in ourselves that we just go and do stuff. I've watched it my whole Christian life, just doing stuff. And for the most part, you never see any manifestation of power. So I think the church has lost sight of the fact of who we are and the power that we have, where we've come from, where we've been transported to. And so we have to be careful. I was thinking about, I have a dear friend and her husband's, they're on a death watch, waiting for him to pass away. And I got to thinking about Jesus whenever his friend Lazarus was sick. And the disciples came to him and said, your friend Lazarus is sick, they're calling for you. But Jesus waited 4 days. And of course, when he got there, Martha jumped on him. If you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. So it's your fault you didn't come. See, people expect political, religious, well, you could say religious politics. They expect you to act religiously. You need to be here. Where were you? Why didn't you do what I'm pulling on you to do for me to do? Jesus had people pull on him, and when he had that happen, he got out of there. He didn't want to go independent of the kingdom. So he waited 4 days. Then he decided to head that direction. When he got there, he's dead. And of course, everybody, well, no hope. There's no hope. Well, part of the kingdom is the deaf hear, the blind see, the dead are raised, the lame men walk. This is the kingdom Jesus said we were to be taking. This is what he did when he was here, cleanse the lepers. There was no religious correctness. It was, the Father said, go here, so I go here, and whatever he tells me to do, I do it, whether it's to turn the water into wine, go fill the pots with water. Did Jesus turn the water into wine? No, Father did. So Father will do the same thing through us because as he is, so are we in this world. He is the light of the world. We are the light of the world. We're like a city set on a hill. And so he's just waiting for somebody that will not step out independently and will hear his voice and actually just go do what he asked them to do so he can perform. He wants to do great and mighty acts. He wants to show the people of the Permian Basin, I'm still on the throne and I still am blessing my people and my glory will be seen throughout this earth if I could get those out of the way that are trying to take the glory. They think, well, I have to perform. I have to do what they require of me. The biggest problem Jesus had were the religious leaders of the day, and they were performers. They didn't no more know God. He called them, you're of your father, the devil. They weren't taking his message, God's message. They were taking a religious message, a form of godliness with no power thereof. I've seen it my whole Christian life. That's why it was so hard and we were out of church for so long, is because we knew there was more. We wanted what God had for us, and all we saw was just religious works. Every once in a while, somebody might breeze through here that actually had an anointing, and you saw a few things happen. But I'm telling you today, if we will just hear His voice, just make ourselves available, realize it's not us. We're just like a pitcher with water in it, and we're ready to be poured out. See, He's chosen an earthen vessel to put His glory in, that it might be poured out. And when people see it, they don't give praise to that person. They give glory to God. Jesus didn't take God's glory. He would not do it. And when they tried to make Him king, He thought, this isn't Father's will. I'm out of here. So He ran and hid. He ran from religious correctness. He ran out of His temple with a whip. He was zealous for the Lord's house. He said, the zealousness of the Lord's house is eating me up. I can't stand this anymore. Why? He brought the kingdom of God. He brought the real deal. What they had was a sham. It was a fake. A fake. Think about that. We have gone to, basically, people had their hearts, they're trying their best, but they just didn't get it. Let's do our little form. Get us through. Make everybody happy. Make sure we pat their back, because they're liable to get upset if we don't coddle them and we don't do these things. God's looking for the radicals, the ones that'll say, I'll do whatever you tell me. Nothing less and nothing more. More is not always better if God says do less. Now get the hold of this, because it's how many of you running, whether you're a success or not. I had that question posed to me, well, you got people coming? I said, yeah. Like, well, if you got numbers, then you're a success. Really? Political correctness or religious correctness, they're the same thing, the same old spirit. It's like, this is expected, and you are expected to perform, and you're expected to do. I've had people pull on me since I've been a minister, telling me I ought to be doing this or ought to be doing that. When the Lord never told me to do any of it. Who are we supposed to believe? We're supposed to be able to follow our leaders as they follow Christ. But if they're not following Christ and they're into religious traditions, then you better not be following them. All right, a transfer has taken place. A transfer. Colossians 1, 13. The Father has delivered and drawn us to Himself out of the control and the dominion of darkness, and has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Right there, translated, transfer, to carry away, to dispose or exchange. What it means. We've been transferred, a transfer out of darkness. Here's what darkness is. This is out of the Strong's, obscurity. Ephesians 6 talks about the rulers of the darkness of this world. This world is in darkness. As great as it may seem and the wonders of this place, it's in darkness. I got to thinking about how it must have looked in the beginning before the fall. Seemed like I heard someone give an account of that had gone to heaven. I don't know which one it was, but they were talking about when they were in heaven, everything was so bright and vibrant and alive that the earth looked gray and dim in comparison. And look how beautiful some of the places are on this earth. Can you imagine how it really looked in its state before the darkness entered? That's what happened to the one, that world that God made, or this world God made. All of a sudden you see God made it in Genesis 1, and then you notice now it's over there without any light, darkness covered it. Guess who? Guess who came to dinner? And then God began to speak light back into it. You see that? Mm-hmm. Satan. Light back into it. Whatever he touches, whatever he gets into, he destroys. That's his only agenda. If only the people, even the church, if only the church. That's why the Lord said, pray for the pastors in this area that they will hear his voice. They will hear the truth about things, not their religious correctness, not their traditions, but the real truth of God's word and what it's really all about. That they'll get an awakening, if you will, of the truth. This is about being about the master's business. This is about snatching people out of the fire. Because the good that's coming will not last forever. Because Satan still is the god of this system. And if he's here, nothing good can ever come of anywhere he is, ever. Now we're children of light. And we can bring it all back in perspective where God wants it to be. But then what happens when we go? Will our kids do it? Or will their kids do it? Some point there'll be an Antichrist that'll step up. One of the darkest times in the earth's history. Okay. Obscurity, to make dark, dim, or indistinct. To conceal or hide by, or as if by, well, I don't even know what that word is, covering. So Satan's blinded. See, this darkness blinds. This earth has been blinded. Okay. Into the kingdom of his dear Son we have been transferred, out of this darkness into light, a kingdom of transparency. Where we see the truth. We really see the truth. All right, let's look at Acts 26:18. I saw a YouTube video yesterday. I didn't listen to it, but I thought about it because it said they're trying to erase your history. They've been trying to erase what's really happened in history. And they've told you through government-controlled schools, children, what they want you to believe about it. And I know that's true. Absolutely. All right, 26:18. To open their eyes that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may thus receive forgiveness and release from their sins and a place and portion among those who are consecrated and purified by faith in me. So there's the goal. That's God's goal. Light here means to shine or make manifest luminousness in the widest application. The brightest, in Revelation it talks about there won't be any need for the sun because the Lamb will be its light. He is so bright. There won't be. God has no shadow. There is no darkness in him. So he can't cast a shadow. Out of darkness. All right, we're going to look at some scriptures on darkness. And then we're going to get in some other things. Just want you to get an impression on your spirit about where we live. where God has put us. We're not in darkness. We're in light. We may be in this place, but we are not of this place. And we need to live that way and think that way instead of being overcome by the darkness. Fainting in our minds, if you understand what I'm talking about. That's when Satan gains ground over us, when we faint in our minds, because there is the warfare. It doesn't matter what's coming against you. Romans 2:19. And if you are confident that you are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness. Now I'm just reading scriptures here that has this word darkness in them. Let me read that again. And if you are confident that you are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness. So we have to look at ourselves as He is, so are we in this world, and that we walk in His steps. We're following in His footsteps. He was the light of the world. Now He says we're the light of the world. So we have to walk like we're the children of light. And we're here to rescue people out of darkness. Romans 13:12. We need to quit thinking, I'm just down here in this mess trying to get by the best I can. I'm just getting my backside whipped every day. That old thinking is stinking in God's sight. We're not, it didn't say that we were below and not above. He said we're above only and not beneath. Okay? And that means your mind. When your mind is stayed, what's the scripture? What does it say? Something about when your mind is stayed on thee. See, when you've got your focus on God and His Word, His kingdom, where you're really from, planet heaven, the commonwealth of heaven. Peter says, commonwealth of heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. We're just visiting here. We're called aliens, peculiar people. We're the aliens. All right, 13:2. Therefore, he who resists and sets himself up against the authorities resists what God has appointed and arranged. And those who resist will bring down judgment upon themselves. And that doesn't have darkness in it, does it? It's because I'm not reading the right one. 12. The night is far gone, and the day is almost here. Let us then drop. Amplify says, fling away the works and deeds of darkness and put on the full armor of light. This is a mental process. Ephesians 6, this is a mental process. We will look at that more closely later. The helmet of salvation. All right, 1 Corinthians 4. Five. It says, so do not make any hasty or premature judgments before the time when the Lord comes again. For he will both bring to light the secret things that are now hidden in darkness and disclose and expose the secret aims, motives, and purposes of hearts. Then every man will receive his due commendation from God. Now I have applied all this about parties and factions to myself and Apollos for your sakes, brethren, so that from what I have said of us, as illustrations, you may learn to think of men in accordance with Scripture, not to go beyond that which is written, that none of you may be puffed up and inflated with pride and boast in favor of one minister and teacher against another. So he's talking about to do that is to get over into darkness. They're putting emphasis on the leaders and their greatness and not on the greatness of God. Because we're all servants of the Lord here. Wherever our station is in the body of Christ, that's neither here nor there. We're all servants. We're all expected to do the same thing. Okay, 14. He says, Paul says this, I do not write this to shame you, but to warn and counsel you as my beloved children. Oh, if we could ever get a hold of this religious correctness stuff. Most of my ministerial career, it's like, I don't fit. I haven't fit because I don't have the credentials, or I don't have the proper sex, or I don't have the proper whatever for all these esteemed men to, you know what I'm saying? You think that ain't politics? I've seen it. They got their little ways and their little, come up through the ranks, and you do it just like they do in Washington. Come on now. I didn't even plan to talk on this. That wasn't even a word I had till I got up here and stood up here about political correctness. Do you see how close they are? They're the same old spirit here. One's just secular and the other one's supposedly spiritual. But I've watched it through the ranks, and it's like if you don't fit in and you don't do it our way, if you didn't go to cemetery, then you don't qualify. And you're not going to get your foot in the door, and nothing, you know, unless you got people that'll endorse you. Who are you? Where'd you go to school, or how many degrees you got, or yeah. Come on. Here Jesus came, and he was not anything. Born in the stable. Okay, Ephesians 5. It used to really intimidate me. Now it just makes me so angry when I see it. I feel like I wish I had a cord. I would run you out of God's house. That's how I feel about it. That's how strong I feel about it. You pretenders, you hypocrites, you religiously correct leaders, how dare you pretend? That's why he's going to say to many of them, well, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we do all these things in your name? And he'll say, I don't even know you. We have to guard against this being pulled to do things God does not expect us to do. But religious correctness has dictated to us our whole lives. Well, you know. Well, you need to go over there and see about them. You're a pastor, ain't you? That pull to step out independently and do something that you shouldn't be doing. I know, I've done it, and the Lord said, I didn't tell you to do that. Oh, I thought I needed to do that, or I was supposed to do that. Well, who do you take your orders from? Them? No. Well, this is odd today, isn't it? Need some of this. This is what's going to make the difference. This is what made the difference of Jesus in his day and the religious leaders of his day. They griped at him because he healed on the Sabbath, and they didn't heal on the Sabbath, and they didn't heal Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. They never healed any day of the week. They were just jealous. How dare he come in here and desecrate our Sabbath by healing on the Sabbath day? He said, you hypocrites, if you got a donkey fell in the well, you're going to pull him out on the Sabbath day? And a man better than that? Or a sheep or whatever it was? We got to get this stinking religious thinking that's been crammed down our throats our whole life out of our minds. We need to be hearing what Father says and only what Father says. Period. It's going to take me a long time to get through this list today. Ephesians 5, verse 8. For once you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Lead the lives of those native born to the light. You're a native born heaven whatever citizen. Native born. Born in the light. Take your orders from the light. Verse 11 says, take no part in and have no fellowship with the fruitless deeds and enterprises of darkness, but instead let your lives be so in contrast as to expose and reprove and convict them. Kind of like Jesus when they were going to stone the woman, and probably the guy that was in bed with her standing back there with a rock. Condemn her to death. We caught her in the act of adultery. You think it sounded like a setup? To trap Jesus. They set it up to trap Jesus. What you gonna do about this? This is what the law says. Say, well, if you ain't ever sinned, here you go. Throw the first rock. He exposed them. And they were convicted of their sins right there. All they could do, throw their rocks down and leave. See, in the kingdom, it's not about that. He told the woman, don't sin anymore. What do you think changed her life? Their hypocrisy or his mercy? Well, if you don't stop that, you're going to go to hell. Did that ever win anybody? You can't scare somebody into salvation. Now, you can love them into salvation. That's what God does. He loves you. The goodness of God leads men towards repentance. Scare tactics. Well, you can catch more flies with honey than you can with vinegar, right? That's what catching men is all about. Put something tasty on that hook, and then you get them. All right, 1 Thessalonians 5:4. But you are not in darkness, brethren, for that day to overtake you by surprise like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We do not belong either to the night or to the darkness. So we at salvation were born into the light. We need to walk as if we're in the light. Don't act like we're still in darkness. How do we do that? Our minds. First Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen race. A royal priesthood, a dedicated nation, God's own purchased special people, that you may set forth the wonderful deeds and display the virtues and perfections of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So, He's not wanting you to go and show forth religious correctness, but His deeds, His wondrous works, it says. So once you were not a people at all, but now you are God's people. Once you were unpitied, but now you're pitied and have received mercy. So God had mercy on us, and He wants us to have mercy on others. I know it's real easy sometimes to curse the darkness, curse the people in the darkness, when you see them doing such nasty things that people in the world are going to do because they're of their father, the devil. They're going to act like the devil. There should be no surprise. It's still very hard to see, and it seems it's offensive. But the Lord's been showing me lately, he said, when you see that, that's the time for you to pray for a worker to come across their path, that the mercy of God would come upon that person, to break the darkness off of them and release the light right there into their lives. Because that's what's going to change this dark world. One convert at a time. 1 John 1:6. So if we say we are partakers together and enjoy fellowship with him, when we live and move and are walking about in darkness, we are speaking falsely and do not live and practice the truth. But if we are living and walking in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin and guilt. So being in the light is a continual cleansing of all sin and guilt. Jesus took care of sin once and for all. Does that give us a license to go and sin? No, it does not. But if for some reason we get tripped up and we do, there is cleansing. That's part of walking in the kingdom of light. No guilt, no shame, not a heavy burden carrying of all the things we've done wrong. Now, the devil might try to bring them up to you, but all you got to say is, yeah, I did that, but you know what? Forgiven. Forgiven. It's over. 1 John 2:6. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk and conduct himself in the same way in which he walked and conducted himself. So we're to conduct ourselves like Jesus conducted himself. How did Jesus conduct himself? Was he religiously correct? No. He heard what the Father told him to do and he did it. He walked in the kingdom. He took the kingdom. That's what he decreed when he started his ministry. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. All right, verse 9. Whoever says he's in the light and hates his brother is in darkness even until now. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light. And it or in him there is no occasion for stumbling or cause for error or sin. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walking in the dark. He is straying and does not perceive or know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. So to walk in the light of the kingdom is a love walk. You walk in hate, you walk in darkness. Pretty defined. Okay, let's look at the words of light. There's more of those, and I like that better. Light. Romans 2:19. Sometimes you don't realize just how much something is in the scriptures till you start doing a study on it, and you think, wow, it's all through here. 2:19. I read this a while ago. If you're confident that you are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, and you are, well, I don't need to read that. Okay, Romans 13:12. The night is far gone, and the day is almost here. Let us then drop the works and deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. What armor is that? Ephesians 6. 1 Corinthians 4:5. We'll try to get through here quickly because I got some other stuff I want to bring. 1 Corinthians 4:5. Read that while I go too. Some of these have light and darkness in the same scripture. So do not make any hasty or premature judgments before the time when the Lord comes, for he will both bring to light the secret things that are in darkness and disclosing and expose the aims of hearts, then every man will receive commendation from God. So it doesn't matter what's been done on the earth, when the Lord comes, everything will be exposed by the light. There won't be any place to hide. Okay, 2 Corinthians 4, 4. For the God of this world has blinded the unbelievers' minds, preventing them from seeing the illuminating light of the gospel to the glory of Christ, who is the image and likeness of God. See, I have another verse 6. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts so as the light for the illumination of the knowledge of the majesty and glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So Jesus was the light that was sent into the world that men might know about God. All right, verse 14. Assured that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will raise us up also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. Okay, that doesn't say light in it. I don't know why I put that there. Because it's the wrong, hold on, it's 6:14. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership have right living and right standing with God with iniquity and lawlessness? Or how can light have fellowship with darkness? And he goes on to talk about what harmony can there be between Christ and Belial, or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? So light and darkness are not, can't mix. All right, Ephesians 5:8. For once you were darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Okay. 13 and 14. But when anything is exposed and reproved by the light, it is made visible and clear. And where everything is visible and clear, there is light. Therefore, he says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall shine upon you and give you light. This is the year of solving of knotty problems and of witty inventions. You know where those knots are? You may think, well, it's in my body or it's in this and that. They're in your mind. It's an obstruction to the answer, to the light. Yeah. Colossians 1:12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified and made us fit to share the portion which is the inheritance of the saints in the light. Lots and lots of scriptures about the light. 1 Thessalonians 5:5. For you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We do not belong either to the night or to darkness. Second Timothy 1:10. It is that purpose and grace which he now has made known and has fully disclosed and made real to us through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who annulled death and made it of no effect and brought life and immortality, immunity from eternal death to light through the gospel. So when we share the gospel with someone, we are bringing the light for their rescue. First Peter 2:9. Just a few more of these. I read this a while ago, but it's a good scripture. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a dedicated nation, God's own purchased special people, that you may set forth the wonderful deeds and display the virtues and perfections of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are to follow in his footsteps. That's what he did. He was declaring the glory of God. He was doing the Father's works. The Father needs us so he can do his works through us, just like he did through Jesus. All right, 2 Peter 1:19. And we had the prophetic word made firmer still. You will do well to pay close attention to it as a lamp shining in a dismal, squalid, and dark place until the day breaks through the gloom and the morning star rises, coming into being in your hearts. He's talking about revelation knowledge here. Knowledge. The more we know about the kingdom, the more enlightenment we get, the better we're going to walk in it. The devil will have to let go completely. 1 John 1:5. And this is the message which we have heard from him and now are reporting to you. God is light, and there's no darkness in him at all. So somebody accusing, well, God did this. If it's darkness, he didn't. There's no darkness in him. Verse 7, but if we are living and walking in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin and guilt. Verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we delude and lead ourselves astray, and the truth is not in us. Okay, 9 and 10. If we admit that we have sinned and confess our sins, he's faithful and just, and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we contradict his word and make him out to be false and a liar, and his word is not in us. Okay, got a few in Revelation. This is Revelation chapter 22. The first one's 21, Revelation 21, 23. And the city has no need of the sun or the moon to give light to it, for the splendor and radiance of God illuminate it, and the Lamb is its lamp. All right, 24, the nations shall walk by its light, and the rulers and leaders of the earth shall bring into it their glory. No, Psalms 119, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Revelation 22:5, and there shall be no more night. They have no need for lamplight or sunlight, for the Lord God will illuminate them and be their light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Reminds me of Cocoon, the Anchorians or whatever they were, which, by the way, is one of those races, supposedly, you know. And I'm thinking, all the movies, they can't keep their mouth shut about what they're trying to do and shame us or keep the truth from us. But anyway, you know, they'd open that suit and that light would come out of there. I said, we're the children of the light. If our outside is... Well, let me get this right. In the garden, man lost his clothes. You know what I'm saying? Animals have fur, fish have fins, birds have feathers. Well, we're turned inside out. What's on the inside of us now was on the outside. You understand what I'm saying? And one of these days, when we throw off this corruption, we're going to be like that. And that's what it reminded me of. I stand up here, I thought, I see the movie Cocoon and those guys pulling off those rubber fake suits. They were just these light, bright, like... Okay, we shine as bright stars in a dark world. That's Philippians 2:15. I missed that one. That's good. Let's look there. Now, we talked about when you walk in the light, you walk in love. And then verse 14 says, do all things without grumbling and fault finding and complaining, that you may show yourselves to be blameless and guileless, innocent and uncontaminated, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and wicked generation among whom you are seen as bright lights in the dark world. Bright lights. Just imagine the original earth, how bright and how beautiful it must have been. compared to now. Okay, Romans 8 talks about creation is groaning. See, creation was subjected to this by nothing that they did wrong, except the serpent yielded to Satan. Romans 8, 19. It says, for even the whole creation, all nature waits expectantly and longs earnestly for God's sons to be made known, waits for the revealing, the disclosing of their sonship. For the creation, nature was subjected to frailty, to futility, condemned to frustration, not because of some intentional fault on its part, but by the will of him who so subjected it, yet with the hope that nature, creation itself, will be set free from its bondage to decay and corruption and gain an entrance into the glorious freedom of God's children. We know that the whole creation of irrational creatures has been moaning together in the pains of labor until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have enjoyed the first fruits of the Holy Spirit, a foretaste of the blissful things to come, groan inwardly as we wait for the redemption of our bodies from sensuality and the grave, which will reveal our adoption, our manifestations as God's sons. Yeah. The whole earth is under a curse, Galatians 3:13. But we are redeemed from the curse, it says. Creation is not. The world system is not. If you're not born again and walking in the light, you are under the curse. Okay. And the whole creation, this is 2 Corinthians 4:4. God, or it says Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they're obscured. That's what darkness is, obscurity. They can't see the truth unless they've got a light bringer. And I don't mean Satan, the light bringer. I mean the children of light bring the gospel of the light into their darkness. Okay. All right, we're going to get in a little more personal note. The Lord said to me, think yes. When it comes to walking in the kingdom, think yes. Think yes. Well, you know, I did something wrong, probably. No, we looked over there in John where we have a continual cleansing. I'm not saying that you don't ever need to ask for somebody to forgive you or something, but we're not to walk in sin consciousness, thinking, well, God's not going to do this for me because I didn't act right yesterday, or I said something I shouldn't have said, and you know how the story goes. There's no more shame. There's no more guilt. All that was taken away with all of that yuck, all the darkness of this world and all of its condemnation and all of that stuff. There is no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. They don't walk after the flesh. They walk after the Spirit. If you stay in the Spirit, nothing can condemn you. All right. 2 Corinthians 1:20. For as many as are the promises of God, they all find their yes in Him. For this reason, we also utter the amen to God through Him, to the glory of God. So, all God's promises are an already yes. It's not based on conditions. You know, I was thinking about yesterday. I was writing some things down, and the Lord was talking to me, and I was thinking about Jesus. You know, people think, I wish it was in the day of Jesus. Everybody got healed, you know. He'd go in these multitudes, and everybody said He healed them all. And the Lord said to me, you have a better covenant, because I've already healed you all. He said, they got a foretaste of what I was going to do before I went to the cross, with the stripes on my back, and then salvation. So you already have that. I've healed them all. It's already over for you. They had the real deal. But you don't. You've been redeemed from it. You let that sink in. The doctor may say, you have this. But the Lord's saying, far as I remember, my son took that on his back. So no, you don't. That's a Texan's interpretation of how the Lord talks. We have already been transferred out of darkness into the kingdom. You go read it. We'll just go read there. Revelation. We're going to read, I think it's 21 or 22. What's not allowed in the kingdom, okay? We're already in the kingdom walking in light. Just a minute, let me find. Okay. Verse 22:14, blessed are those who cleanse their garments, that they may have the authority and right to the tree of life and to enter through the gates into the city. Without are the dogs and those who practice sorceries and impurity and the murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and deals in falsehood. In other words, they are not going to be allowed to enter into the city. The city is the kingdom of God. We're the new Jerusalem. We're just lively stones in his in that temple that's four square. Nothing that's not in line with him and what his kingdom says and what his word says, they'll not be allowed to come in. So we're already there. Not physically, but spiritually speaking, mentally speaking, we're sitting in his throne. So everything out here is not supposed to touch us, affect us, because we're walking in a new dominion. I hope you get this today. So what's the problem? What you think about it is the only problem. No, it's this physical problem. No, it's your mental problem. As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Plain and simple. Thinketh. This is what it means, thinketh. To split or open. To act as gatekeeper. To estimate. If it's settled, there's no estimating about it. There's no splitting open and dividing. There is just yes. Already done. It's part of our rights and privileges as children of the light. It's like Jesus said, you've already been healed. Don't be wishing you could be back in the Gospels or even in the Acts. Don't be wishing that. You're above them. I've already said yes. I already took it all. They didn't have that. They got a little taste of it, but you have it. Full salvation. We must be the gatekeeper of our thought life. You're the gatekeeper. And you have to make sure that the devil doesn't come and kick you off of your gate. You say what thoughts come in and out of your mind. You either let him come in and beat you up and throw you around and trample on you hours or days, or either you get out your word and you say, oh, heck no, I'm the owner, and you're not taking my ground. It's up to you. Okay. This is where our true warfare is. 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5. We've read this scripture so many times that we're going to keep reading it till we will utter this in our sleep. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not carrying on our warfare according to the flesh and using mere human weapons. We had a chance to do this the other day. We went into a local restaurant to eat, and we were waiting in the parking place. A girl came out. She walked and got in her car, and we thought she was coming right out, but she sat there for a couple of minutes. And this guy in the pickup behind us, you could tell he was really wanting us to go on. But anyway, we started to go on, and then her lights come on, so we backed out and moved into the parking place, and the guy went on down. And when we got out, we got a, Danny got a nice little note on his car calling him a J.A. And how dare he block him in. He nearly called a tow truck on him. Just this kind of stuff. Like it. We just saw a child of darkness, you know. And I'm thinking, of course, your flesh wants to. Well, let me just tell you something, because he happens to know the person. So, and he thought he was a real nice guy, but he began to see. And I thought, well, you know, sometimes maybe the Lord lets us see who needs him the most so that we can. He said, well, what if I just put a note on his car when I go to a certain place? I thought, why don't you put a track on his windshield? You could say, well, after the way you acted and the note you sent, we kind of thought you were probably dying and going to hell, so here's a track to help you make sure that you go to hell. But, you know, not expecting it, you know, just went to have lunch, a nice lunch, and, you know, something like this happens. Is this reality? Is this where we live? Is this the kind of world we live in? It grieved me because I'm thinking, you know, in West Texas, people are pretty decent out here. And, you know, all the stuff you see online or you see on the news, they're just the nastiest scum of the earth. And you think, when you see someone that kind of acts like that, you just go, ugh. I'm glad there's just a few far in between out here as opposed to everywhere you go. That's where it is everywhere. But anyway, we have a choice here. We can either get on the wrong side, get in the darkness. Man, I'd like to go punch his lights out. We have to lead those thoughts captive, for though we walk in the flesh, we're not carrying on our warfare according to the flesh by using mere human weapons, for the weapons of our warfare are not physical, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds. Refuting arguments and theories. Do you think our minds weren't reasoning and theories coming up about how we'd like to handle that and how we should handle that? That's how the devil works. He wants you to get an offense. So you kick yourself out of the light when you start getting in divisive things with people and strife. That's the devil's playground. We're feeding arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing. See, that's pride. Well, how dare you do that to me? This guy has a lot of money. So you get thinking, well, who do you think you are? You got money? You can just treat us little folks like we're just a bug? Just snap my finger and I'll just have you towed off? I'm thinking, who are you people? What rock have you crawled out from under? They're children of the devil. It's pride, every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we lead every thought or purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ, the Messiah anointed one. So we had to crush those feelings of pride and wanting to take the fist and take care of it and say, Lord, we just break the power of darkness off of this person, and we just ask you, Lord of the harvest, to send workers across his path, because if this is the way he does things in life, he's not going to get along very well, and he's not going to come to a very good end. So we ask you for mercy. Yeah. That's how you handle that. Now the devil would have us retaliate and ruin our witness. That's that woman I saw on TV, and she'd come over here and cuss me out because what I did to her husband. Yeah, that's the way it happens. All right. In Genesis 3, we see the same old thing that happened to Eve. Paul said, I'm afraid it's going to happen to you too. Just as the serpent beguiled Eve. That's what he does. He doesn't do the expected stuff. He tries to pull something on you right out of the blue that you're not expecting to get you to start doing something in your flesh, reacting. Okay, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Now you can see why our first act of worship as a born-again believer is to submit this unrenewed mind to the washing of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. 12, 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable service and spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, how they act, how they handle things, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. In Amplified, it said by its new ideas and its new attitude. I like that. So that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. So when we have a renewed mind, we're going to be able to control our flesh and know what how God wants us to handle it as the person that walks in the light. Okay. So you can know God's will in a matter. James 1 says, when you're going through hard things, count it all joy. See, count it all joy. Because He wants us to not let the grievous, whatever, situation of what's coming against us to cause us to react and to step over into the flesh. The flesh is darkness, you understand? Well, we'll read that. Let's read it. Verse 2 of chapter 1. Consider it wholly joyful, my brethren, whenever you're enveloped in or encounter trials of any sort or fall into various temptations. We were tempted. Especially him thinking. I mean, we were driving off and I noticed this note under the wiper. So when we stopped, he got it out and looked at it, and he stood out there, and I'm thinking, what in the world does that note say? A temptation was on that note. It says, be assured and understand the trial and proving of your faith, bring out endurance and steadfastness and patience. But let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play and do a thorough work. See, the things come so that you can go through this exercise and come out victorious on the other side of it. Do a thorough work so that you may be perfectly and fully developed, lacking in nothing. See, when we learn to stay in the Spirit, what happens when you stay in the Spirit? The devil can't hurt us. He can't touch us. What happens when we step over in the flesh? He'll eat your lunch in the flesh. He can't do anything to you in the Spirit. He's powerless. This is the key. You can act and speak it, but what is really going on in your thoughts? Matthew talks about choose your master. We've read it so many times, Matthew 24 through 34, about taking care about things and situations. You choose your master. Your thoughts reveal who your master really is. The thoughts you take, anyway. Okay. This is where we faint. You know, people may be sick and they may be dying, a lot of things happening, but they gave up in their mind first to be there. Okay, let's look at some of that. This is Galatians. Galatians talks about the fruit of the Spirit and the works of the flesh. What gets us in trouble? Galatians 6:9. Now when we have flesh days and we give in to the devil, we're going to reap it. You just might as well realize that. You sowed some seeds. It says here, verse 9 of 6, let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing right, for in due time, at the appointed season, we shall reap if we do not loosen and relax our courage and faint. But right here, verse 7, do not be deceived and deluded and misled. God will not allow Himself to be sneered at, scorned, disdained, or mocked by mere pretensions or professions or by His precepts being set aside. When we get in the flesh, we set aside His precepts. He inevitably deludes himself who attempts to delude God, for whatever a man sows, that and that only is what he will reap. So if he sows to his own flesh, that's the lower nature, sensuality, will from the flesh reap decay and ruin and destruction. But he who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. That's when he encourages, don't lose heart. Don't faint in your mind. Don't relax and give in to the flesh. Because you're going to reap what you've given into. It's just a law. But if you stay in the Spirit, you're going to get the desired result. It's a discipline. Okay, Hebrews 12. We'll look at verse 3 first. Just think of him who endured from sinners such grievous opposition and bitter hostility against himself. Reckon up and consider it all in comparison with your trials, so that you may not grow weary or exhausted, losing heart and relaxing and fainting in your minds. The battlefield is in the mind. And have you completely forgotten the divine word of appeal? This is verse 5, an encouragement in which you are reasoned with and addressed as sons. My son, do not think lightly your scorn to submit to the correction and discipline of the Lord, nor lose courage and give up and faint when you're reproved or corrected by him. See, he's doing this for our good. He's teaching us to be strong and to stand strong as children of light. Don't forget what this message is about. Faint means to relax. Put on the helmet of salvation. That's Ephesians 6. This is mental, I'm telling you. If you're going to get mental, make sure you're going the right direction with it. I know in the world that means nutcase, but we can be mental in the spirit, but have our helmet of salvation on. Ephesians 6:14. Stand therefore, hold your ground, having tightened the belt of truth around your loins, and having put on their breastplate of integrity and moral rectitude and right standing with God. So it doesn't actually say helmet of salvation in Amplified, but that's what it's talking about here. Okay, let's see what others. 15, and having shod your feet in preparation to face the enemy with the firm-footed stability, the promptness and the readiness produced by the gospel, or by the good news of the gospel of peace. And then, you know, after you've done that, then you can lift up the shield of faith. There's the helmet of salvation in 17. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword that the Spirit wields, which is the Word of God. So we see the Word of God in working all through this to keep our loins, the loins of our mind, keep our right thoughts. We always have a knowledge of salvation and all it entails. We're well, we're whole, we're sound. Jesus already said yes. See, this helmet covers our head so we don't forget who we are. Okay, have the shield of faith to ping off the weapons of the enemy. Okay, 3 John 2, beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul. You could say your mind. Your mind, your will, and your emotions. That's your soul. So if your mind is prospering, the area will prosper too. If you're fainting in your mind, you're not going to do well in your body either, or the circumstance. So the more mentally stable that you can become in your walk, the greater your victory is going to be. It plainly shows that if you think that you're something, you are. As a man thinks. Satan is the serpent. He wants us afraid of it. Just like the snake on Paul's hand. You can apply that to any situation. He wants us to be afraid of it. Fear comes through the thoughts. You can counter it here. Paul countered it. Now, if he thought, oh my God, I'm fixing to die. He disciplined his thought life to where he didn't take any thoughts. Because, you know, we're pretty good about discipline, about not saying, ever saying anything. But when thoughts come, do we stop and entertain it? Or do we immediately rise to the occasion with the shield of faith and ping it off and say no? Okay, let's read a few more Proverbs. We're getting close to being done here, so Proverbs 14. this to me, 3 John 2, it's like the same thing. Here it goes, a calm and undisturbed mind and heart are the life and health of the body. Let me read that again. A calm and undisturbed mind and heart are the life and health of the body. Because if you think right, things are going to be right. If you think wrong, things are going to be wrong. But envy, jealousy, and wrath are like rottenness of the bones. Okay, 16:24. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the mind and healing to the body. Now listen to that. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb. Commercials about good things instead of commercials about everything decrepit and putrid and everything else. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the mind and healing to the body. So we see the connection between the mind and healing in our body. All right, 17:22. A happy heart is good medicine, and a cheerful mind works healing. But a broken spirit dries up the bones. That's why James says, when you're in trials, count it all joy. He's trying to say, get your mind right. Because that's where you faint. That's where you relax. That's where you lose the battle. All right. I'm not going to read all of this. This is about David and Goliath. But the thing about Saul in 1 Samuel 17, every time the giant came out, they ran for the foxhole. What did they say? Their mind said, we be not able. They were saying the same thing that Israelites said in Numbers chapter 13 when God sent the spies in to spy out the land, and they came back with the good report, but the giants are there, and we be as grasshoppers in their sight. We be not able. But what did David say? Did he have the same fear come against him when he saw that big thing? I'm sure. But what did he say? This day, how dare you defy the armies of the living God? This day I'm going to cut off your head. It was a mindset. Either running for the foxhole, you're saying, bring it on, bring it on. Come on, this is just practical stuff. Well, we know Caleb and Joshua went on in. Mm-hmm. Caleb said, give me the hills of giants on it. I'm as strong today at 85 as I was the day at 45 years old when the Lord told me to go in and take it. Joshua said, go on in, it's yours. That's a mindset. Youth renewal is a mindset. If you think old, you're going to act old. Okay. Matthew 14. Then he directed the disciples to get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent away the crowds. You reckon he knew what was down the road? He's going to teach them a lesson here. He's training them for when he was gone. And after he dismissed the multitudes, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. When it was evening, he was still there alone. But the boat was by this time out on the sea, many furlongs, a furlong's length of a mile, distance from the land, beaten and tossed by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch, between 3 and 6 a.m. of the night, Jesus came to them walking on the sea. He let them struggle. Sometimes you think, Lord, he lets you struggle. He's hoping that you'll take to heart everything he's taught you and rise to the occasion. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, It is a ghost, and they screamed out with fright. But instantly he spoke to them, saying, take courage, I am, stop being afraid. And Peter answered him, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. He said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water, and he came towards Jesus. What happened? He got to thinking, woo, these waves, woo, this wind. It says, and when he perceived, felt the strong wind, he was frightened, and as he began to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me from death. And instantly Jesus reached out his hand and caught him and held him, saying to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Jesus is overseeing whatever. He's the author and finisher of our faith, and he's overseeing our training. He's overseeing whatever winds and waves are coming our direction. He's watching how we react. Are they going to get it this time, Father? And he said, yes, I believe they're going to get it this time. We need to quit looking at it so devastatingly, so life-altering, to the fact that we just nearly are just, we waste days being unproductive and fruitful and letting the devil play with our emotions and our minds and just waste time. The church is full of people like that. But God is overseeing everything, and he's told me many times, daughter, you are in no harm. Peter wasn't in any harm. The Lord was right there and pulled him right up out of the water. He didn't let him drown. Don't let Satan force you out of your body. You have authority to force him out. Your body gives you authority here. Satan doesn't have any authority here. He doesn't have a body either. Since just a minute. Oh. Since the church has not done what we the Lord has expected us to do, it plainly explains why we have the world we have today. Why we've lost all of our ground and we're having to take it back. If we had been doing it as a church all along, we'd have never come to this place. Okay, the light is to overcome the darkness. We as the church let down. We quit taking the commission for one thing, and Brother Oral Roberts' vision verified that there was only five people in the world that were really actually obeying him, five ministries in the world that were taking the gospel like he told them to. I'm thinking, that's horrible. Five? I don't know who the five were. He named one. I think it was Rodney Howard Brown, or I think so at that time. Well, we're the light of the world. Matthew 5:14 says we're a city on a hill. So we are going to have to take our training in stride and knuckle down and just act like the soldiers we are and quit letting the devil knock us out and knock us about, make us feel like losers. Because we got a big job to do, and the word that came forth this morning basically said that. I got a lot of work for you to do, but he needs people he can trust. Because when you start dealing with a dark world, there's all kinds of things that are going to appear and manifest, and he wants us to be equipped to handle it. Mm-hmm. If it's raising somebody from the dead or casting out a demon, that's kind of ooh, kind of area. Mm-hmm. But Jesus did it, and he said we would too. So don't forget who you are and where you come from and how much advantage you have whenever you're being tested. When you're out in the field and you're having to go through survival training, just remember who you are and how we act. Because the Father, he's looking to see where we are. Can I trust him? Can I trust him to go do these things now I need done? Because there's so few. You're light. You're not darkness. Don't let Satan tell you that in any form or fashion. You're the light of the world. You're a city on a hill. Somebody's going to see your light. It may be the only light they ever see. But God's sending you there for a reason.